welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the internets is Joe, Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
I'm about to do something never been done on any podcast ever before.
Really?
I'm going to eat these crackers and then whistle.
Are those saltines?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why are we doing this?
I don't know.
Damn.
I've already lost control.
I've failed.
And that's why no one's done it on a podcast before.
I thought it'd be the first.
Can you confirm what kind of crackers they were?
Saltines.
Oh, see?
Once again, Jin is able to tell a snack from the sound. We've got to find a way to market this. Joining us is Jin Wicked. How are you tonight, Jin?
That was kind of half today and half tonight, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm all right, I guess. I'm really tired, and I don't know why.
When did you go to bed last night?
I can't remember.
That's a rather personal question.
That might be the reason. Because normally, like, I don't know, 2, 3 in the morning, I'll get a thing. I drew this!
Well, you know, usually I take, you know, I'm addicted to Benadryl, which you build up some tolerance to, but whether I have a tolerance or not, it has a psychosomatic effect, so my brain is like, ooh, Benadryl, time to sleep. So, usually that does it, but I woke up like a million times last night. I don't know if I was dreaming something crazy or what was going on. I can't remember, but I just woke up feeling like somebody dragged me out back and beat the shit out of me. So there you are.
Well, that's not good.
No.
Hang on a second. I got to check something here. Oh, I guess you can say psychosomatic on a podcast. Continue.
We've got the explicit tag. You guys can say whatever you want. I've given up.
Fuck!
See?
Fantastic female furries!
Okay, now that's too far, Joe. That's too far.
Oh, we're talking about Zootopia tonight.
Actually, we should talk about the fact that people are still sending us stuff to review.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, cool.
So we've got a whole list of stuff to review, but yes.
I thought you said one per podcast.
All right, one per podcast, but we've got a list.
I better check it twice.
So, Joe, what did you get to read this week that we should review?
What did you send me?
I sent links for Miami Vice Remix.
That's what I looked at.
And Renee.
Did not look at that.
Okay.
You said, pick one, and that's what I picked.
Okay, Miami Vice Remix. Joe, what did you think?
I have two problems with it. First of all, I don't know Miami Vice. Didn't watch it, didn't care for it, you know, other than the grizzled Don Johnson look, you know, didn't really care for it. Second, anytime you're going to do a comic based on, well, it's a licensed product, I guess, so you're basing it on an actual person, like Star Trek, Babylon 5, whatever, Star Wars. 9 times out of 10, you do not have the rights to use the actor's image. And that's definitely a factor in this book, because it is very highly stylish. It didn't work for me because I had two problems with it, the aforementioned ones. Didn't know the characters, didn't know the situations, and the art kind of left me cold, for lack of a better word. I don't see how someone's going to pick this up and go, oh, Miami Vice. Excuse me, a little bit of cracker left over. I don't see how someone's going to pick this up and go, oh, Miami Vice, and look at it and go, what the heck is this? This doesn't look anything like the characters I remember from that TV show 90 years ago. Or was it? Yeah, about that.
Yeah. We're that old.
I didn't read too much into it because it didn't keep my interest. And again, that could be just because I didn't watch the TV show in that. Maybe if you come at it where it's not thinking, oh, Miami Vice, the TV show, maybe I might be able to wade through it. But I just, it didn't work for me. And again, that just be, might be because of my preconceptions, what I brought to the table.
Jen, did you read the book?
I tried to.
Okay, and your impression?
I couldn't open the PDF.
Oh, okay.
Boy,
the cover looks like box art from an old NES game or something. From when I was a kid. I mean, seriously, it does, like the colors and the font and everything. It looks like an NES box art. Like, you pick it up off the shelf to rent the game down at the video store. And that's not a bad thing, but that's just what it reminds me of. But I tried. I've been trying for the last half hour, and I couldn't open the PDF.
We'll talk after the show, because it is password protected.
I am aware of that, and I had the password, and I just, Acrobat is like, nope.
No, you have to use the special Adobe password thing that's on NetGalley.
Well, it sure would have been nice for them to tell me that.
Trust
or
me, Jen,
anybody
took,
to tell me
it
that.
It took Corey about an hour to text me through it to get to figure out what the hell was going on.
Well, if either of you would have read the email that I sent.
I did read the email. As a matter of fact,
no,
I was
I don't
doing
read
it
emails.
Long before it started, and I had to still contact you and say, this isn't working the way it should.
Why couldn't Joe Casey and Jim Mafood just send me a regular PDF?
Because this is how they protect things from evil
pirates.
I'm not a pirate. I'm an artist.
But they don't know that. I did read the book. I did watch Miami Vice back in the 80s. And I did not care for this at all. Jim Mafood is an artist I have enjoyed in the past. I love the stuff he did with Kevin Smith. I liked his solo stuff where he was doing creator-owned stuff. And when I saw that he and Joe Casey were going to do kind of a Miami Vice, and it was pitched as a reimagining with all this. First off, the art was a mess. It was too frenetic. It was too busy. As Joe said, it was too stylized, but it wasn't stylized in an 80s way. It was stylized in Mafood's almost 90s graffiti art kinetic way that just didn't work for the style of storytelling. Joe Casey is a writer who I've always enjoyed, but this just had too much going on. Is it a reimagining of Miami Vice as kind of a parody of 80s cop shows? Is it we're taking the story about bath salts and throwing it in so that the people in Miami are zombies? Oh, we're going to use other cop show tropes. Oh, we're going to go over the top with it and have a lot of comedy with it. It was too much because it didn't choose one path to go down. So that it was five issues of a miniseries, you would read one issue and it would have a cliffhanger, and then the next issue would kind of start off in another corner, starting another plot, and then it would get back to the cliffhanger halfway through, but not really do anything with it as it built up to the next cliffhanger. And yes, the last issue wrapped it all up, but by then I was honestly reading it, I got exhausted trying to follow all of the things they were trying to do. It was too much at once, and the art did not help. It should have had a more realistic art style. It should have had a more... If they were going to do parody, it should have been a parody of 80s art style. But instead, it just came off as kind of a mess. And for this one, I am recommend... You know, we do buy, borrow, or pass. For me, this is a pass. Joe?
I don't know. You kind of answered it because you're a Miami Vice fan.
Miami Vice.
Hello.
Quit bringing that up. That was a nightmare.
But, I mean, if you're someone who liked the show in passing, I would have to go with that. Normally, books like this, and again, I mentioned Star Wars, I could mention Simpsons, whatever. If you're a fan of it, pick it up. But I'm not going to pick it up.
There was another book that I read and reviewed called Renee. I want to get back to the title here of it so that I can get the artist's name. By Ludwig, I will butcher this last name, Debenry. And it is a large book. It is almost 500 pages long. It is the story of a woman whose boyfriend has gone to jail for something that happened in the previous book. I did not realize that this was a second volume until after I'd completed reading it. Her boyfriend has gone to jail for something in the previous book, and she begins an affair with a married older jazz musician. And the story is told in short, 10 to 11 page, almost anecdotes. So for the first 100 pages or so, I'm just trying to piece together who the characters are, what's going on. But I kept reading because the art was beautiful and amazing. There were sequences where the characters would almost change in a surrealistic way to match the emotions that the other characters were feeling about them. And as I kept reading the book, the anecdotes started coming together as a story, until by the end, I was very impressed with the story as well as the art. I do need to go back and read it a second time, because I think it's one of those books that, as you're putting the pieces together in your head, when you go back and read it again, it's going to be much clearer and there's going to be much more resonance to it. This is not a book for everyone, because this is not a happy book. This is a very depressing book. It is a realistic story with surrealistic art, but the art is beautiful, just beautifully drawn, monochromatic, almost as if it's sketches rather than fully drawn art. I want to go back and read the first book now, but I cannot recommend Renee enough to people who like that sort of realistic, almost a literary novel
who
type of
published
book.
It
was published by Top Shelf.
Ooh. Go get them, guys and gals.
So those are the two books we reviewed. What else have you guys been up to? Joe, what have you been doing this week?
Well, you were nice enough to invite me, courtesy of Hot Comics and Collectibles, to go see Deadpool.
And it was fun.
Outstanding. This was, I don't know what the deal was going on. I think in Hollywood, the big event was going on, but this seemed to be run mostly by some type of publicity firm, because they were double-checking tickets. On the way out, they asked what we thought of it. Not us.
They didn't ask me.
Well, you were running to the bathroom. But, you know, I kind of talked to the girls and just gave them a couple outstanding, really loved it. So I thought that was kind of fun. Not going to blurb too much about it, but a couple of
things. Although by the time this is out, it's been out for the weekend. It opens Friday.
Yeah, but we're not spoiler people. I just want to say, A, it was fucking great. B, it's not for kids. If you're thinking
not at all
of bringing anybody less than 16 years old to this movie, don't. It is not for them. It is not a superhero movie. Ultra violence, ultra Deadpool type sex. To Neil Sedaka, too. And
Stan Lee in a strip club.
Exactly. It's just, I mean, this is he earned every bit of the R. And the only thing I can really say is that, first of all, Ryan Reynolds does go full frontal. And second, the next movie's been confirmed, according to comicbook.com, and it will include Cable. So if you are a Merc with the Mouth fan, go see it. If you just like a funny superhero movie and you're above 16. Holy cow!
Uh-oh.
Who's calling? Let's figure out who it is. Hello? What? Ryan Reynolds? Well, yeah, we're reviewing Deadpool. What was that? Corey gave away Stan Lee's cameo? Okay, I'll let him know that. Thanks, bud. Corey, Ryan says, fuck you.
Yeah, I'm used to that. Yeah. I'm used to that.
So definitely, I think we'll blurb more about this as it goes on. You know, maybe in a week or two we'll revisit it. But yeah, definitely see it. It's worthwhile seeing. Have I gone on enough about this? It's definitely worthwhile seeing.
Jen, has Joe gone on long enough about it?
I don't care.
You don't care?
No, I don't care.
Okay.
Jen, what have you been up to? What new art projects are you doing?
Well, I finally kind of got some of my momentum back, and so I've just been drawing, and I've actually started painting again, so I have a couple of drinks, and I paint some abstracts. I just like working with colors. I think I mentioned this on my other podcast last night, but they're happy rat paintings, so you can get one of my signature happy rats. And I'm also working on an ink piece and some freaky stuff. I extricated myself from some shitty situations, and I don't know, like the last week or so, it's like a floodgate has opened in my head because I've just got the notebook, you know, and I'm kind of writing down things and trying to hash out ideas onto paper before they disappear, which, especially with paintings, it's an image, not an idea. So I gotta like sketch it down and then I can come back to it later. So mostly painting and drawing, which is more than I have been doing. So.
Cool.
Follow
Corey,
me on Instagram.
What have you been doing? I suppose we should ask Corey what he's been doing. I mean,
Corey's just working. Corey always works.
Corey had a big event last week on Thursday.
He did?
Yes, for those of you who follow the Novelcast, and if you're not following the Novelcast, you should, novels.solitairerose.com. It's the podcast I do where I am turning my novels into audiobooks. I have completed the first novel.
Cool.
It took 10 episodes, which was a little shorter than I thought it would be, but still, 10 episodes and I have completed the first novel. I was unbelievably proud when I said the words at the end, because a lot of projects that people start and a lot of things people do, they kind of fade off. I cannot tell you how many podcasts I have listened to that just kind of what they call it pod fading.
The end? That
yes,
reminds me, I got to schedule my colonoscopy.
God, I miss the crickets. But go over to novels.solitairerose.com. The Novelcast, the first novel is done. The second novel starts in 2 weeks. It is very different. It is not a horror novel. It is a comedy novel. So
with or without zombies?
There are no zombies in it at all.
I'm in.
There are no supernatural elements at all.
Well, okay, I'm out again.
There may be sex.
Oh, back in.
There you go. I know what the
you
audience
know your
wants.
Audience.
So that's what I've been up to.
Cool.
The other thing I've been up to is Joe's been badgering me to read Secret Wars.
Badger.
And that's how we know Jin's not paying attention. Joe just sang.
That was
Secret Wars.
I was laughing at this article on Facebook.
The one about the adorable baby otter is a rude bitch?
No, it says, asshole lab rat really screwing with scientific study.
Oh, yeah.
And it has this adorable picture of this little albino Dumbo rat looking into like a test tube or something. Like, I didn't do it.
He's a shithead. Read the article.
I'm not reading the article. I don't read articles.
I don't either. I just look at rats.
I just look at the headlines.
So if the headline's not funny,
you've lost me.
Get up on it.
There you go. Joe, I finally finished reading Secret Wars.
Cool.
Shall we talk about the Secret Wars?
Sure.
Shall we start with the first Secret Wars back from 1984?
I suppose. I mean,
all right.
We've talked about it before. I mean, it's just one of those things where. I don't know if we need to cover it again. It's drawn from Earth across the stars. The Marvel Universe's greatest villains and heroes are confronted by the mysterious and unbelievably powerful Beyonder, with the winner promised the ultimate prize, which I believe like that $10,000 Toys R Us spree that was advertised in Lunch Comics was never awarded. But as the battle lines are drawn, new alliances are forged, old enemies clash, and Galactus is doing something almost every issue. One among them is not willing to settle for anything less than godhood. Oh, can you say foreshadowing? Can even the combined mind of the Avengers, Circula 1984?
Four.
Yep. Spider-Man, the Fantastic Four, and the X-Men, same era, prevent Doctor Doom from becoming the most powerful being in the universe? The answer to that
Probably
question?
Not.
No. No, they really botched it. But it was a 12-issue series. I remember reading something. What was it? Was it a toy line first and then a story, or was it the other way around?
What it was, Mattel came to Marvel and said, we would like to do a toy line. And we would like you to do a comic that promotes it. And they had done research and found out that two words that sell toys were secret and wars. And in a burst of creativity from their marketing department, they said, we want to do Secret Wars, the toys. And Jim Shooter's the one. Jim Shooter was the one who wrote it because nobody else in the office really wanted to write it because they didn't like working with the toy companies. Now, Larry Hama worked very closely with Hasbro on G.I. Joe, and he had a good relationship with them because he had worked in designing toys before in the past. He knew what they were looking for, but no one else at Marvel really wanted to work with the toy people at Mattel. So Shooter kind of took it as, okay, well, if somebody's got to do it, I will. Plotted out this 12-issue toy tie-in so that the characters in the miniseries were the characters that were going to be used in the toys. And Joe, you know more about toys than I do. Did the toy line, I don't remember the toy line being successful.
It was not. Nope, it was, the problem was is they gave them limited articulation. They gave them each a super secret battle shield with one of those lenticular things that changes. And really, that was kind of lame because those shields didn't even appear in the comic strip. I think a couple of the other toys, there was, my mind's blurring. There might have been like a gigantic Ball of Doom something that,
Ball of Doom.
I don't know. Whatever it was, it didn't appear until Deadpool's Secret Wars, and then it finally appeared in Secret Wars 20 years later. But yeah, I mean, the figures are sought after collectibles because, as you know, anything that has a superhero bent and nobody collects and doesn't open goes up in price. There were even three that were like only released in Brazil of characters that I don't even believe appeared in Secret Wars. But yeah, the toy line wasn't very good. The open toys suck. If you can score them sealed, I mean, they're kind of cool. And if you remember, we'll fast forward to the current Secret Wars momentarily. One of the variant covers they were doing were the action figure cover in a similar vein to what the original Secret Wars toys looked like. So at least you got an idea of what we collected. And even when I had Hot Comics, I mean, they sold fairly well.
I just remember, I wasn't buying toys at the time. I remember seeing them a couple places and going, wow, those look cheap and ugly.
They were. At least they were sort of representation of the character. I think DC Superpowers line did a much better job, but even they had the same problem, just the articulation. Compared to figures
Although
nowadays,
I bought some Secret Powers toys.
You?
Some Superpowers toys.
Toys?
Well, they had Darkseid.
Well, of course.
I had to own Darkseid.
Everybody needs a Darkseid in their life.
That's right. It sold frighteningly well.
The comic, not the toys.
Yeah. Yes, the comic sold incredibly well. So they did a sequel, Secret Wars 2.
Ooh, I got this one ready. Secret Wars 2, 1985 to 1986. Having been intrigued by the victorious heroes in the Marvel Superhero Secret Wars, the all-powerful being known as the Beyonder comes to Earth to gain knowledge, experience, and learn how to go to the bathroom. Despite his vast powers, the Beyonder is really frightfully naive regarding human nature. Because of this, he reacts badly to the crisis that his presence causes and inadvertently causes great destruction. More a series of overreactions and misunderstanding. The second secret wars erupts as Earth's heroes try to force the Beyonder to leave. Now, what I did not realize until later, reading various interviews with Mr. Shooter, is that Secret Wars 2 is best read with all the crossovers. Secret Wars 1 was kind of interesting because basically this, all the heroes were kind of compelled to pop into this round thing that appeared in Central Park, where I have no idea. I mean, there's not a lot of space in Central Park for this huge round thing. So everybody came in and just Fantastic Four came through one door, except Sue because she was pregnant. Thor came in one. Hulk came in one. Spider-Man couldn't help himself. I'm swinging in one. The Avengers wandered in one. Hyde, I don't know how he got the heroes or the villains. I mean, they're not prone to swing into like giant things that show up in Central Park. But in, what was interesting, it was 1 month they disappeared. The next month they reappeared. And they had changed. Spider-Man had a black costume. Hulk was even grumpier. He had a Dr. Banner's brain at the time, but his arm was broken. Thing was gone. Fantastic Four was with him. There was a dragon with the FF. And I think Johnny, or was it Colossus, was just a moody son of a bitch. But
yes,
in Secret Wars 2, the coolest thing that happened was Xavier was like, oh my God, he's coming, the Beyonder, which, you know, considering what the Beyonder did in the beginning, he basically destroyed, was it one galaxy or two? I don't know. He just kind of poof and built a planet with a sun.
Yes.
Which is really a cosmic screwing of immense proportions that he were. There had to have been things living in that galaxy, but they were just destroyed just so this one Beyonder could have good and evil fight.
Boring.
Yes, it was.
Well,
and Secret Wars 2 was worse.
The only reason I'm bringing this up is because it ties in to the cool Secret Wars we're going to get to.
Right. But the problem with Secret Wars 2, they learned that the tie-ins for Crisis did really, really well. So everybody across the line at Marvel was told they needed to tie in to Secret Wars 2. They had to have stories where the Beyonder would come in and do something and then go back to the main title. And it was really the first of these huge, massive crossover books that they used to promote the main series, but also to try and boost sales on the other books. And while there were a few decent stories that came out of it, the one I remember is really liking was the Fantastic Four, where the Beyonder actually helped the Human Torch deal with the fact that this kid idolized the Human Torch and had set himself on fire.
You read John Byrne's beef on that issue?
Yes.
Okay. He basically, there's this nurse introduced. She has a big thing to do with the Torch and getting him there. And then at the end, it's the Beyonder who convinces Torch that, no, it's not your fault, blah, blah, blah. It was supposed to be the nurse that did that, not really the Beyonder. And then when Shooter came down upon High and said, nope, this one's going to cross over, Byrne changed it and, of course, you know, has umbrage to this day about it.
Well, because, you know, he can't let anything go even 30 years later.
I personally liked the later Fantastic Four where they explained how did Doom get to be in the Secret Wars? Because at the time, he was dead. And this was at the time in the story where the Beyonder was just getting pissed off because nothing made sense. And he was just getting ready to destroy everything. And what he had done is basically yanked Doom from the future and brought him to fight the Secret Wars. And then he had, or was it the past? One of the two. Either way, the one thing that kept the Beyonder from killing Doom on the spot for the travesty of stealing his powers was he didn't know if he could survive the, I don't know what it, back, and now we call it wibbly wobbly timey wimey, but Dr. Richard Fantastic Four said, can you survive history itself? And having taken many history classes, yes, I know you can survive history itself. Time, no clue. Now, I'm curious, though, because like Shooter said, if you were prone to want to read this, you might want to just pick up the omnibus. However, and I'm sure we can ask the Strode, which issues are not in the omnibus?
Oh, I don't know, because I remember when Secret Wars 2, when they started promoting it, I waited because I hated Secret Wars. By the time it was done, I was angry I had bought the book.
Yeah, it was kind of a flat ending.
And so I said, I'm not going to pick up Secret Wars 2 until I read the first issue. So the first issue came out at the comic shop, and I got halfway through, and I said to the local comic shop guy, I made the right decision not buying this shit. It looked horrible. And the reason was, much like on Secret Wars, Shooter, who was also the editor-in-chief of Marvel and doing a bunch of other stuff, would basically do this when he would write it when he got home if he wasn't too exhausted.
Yep.
So it always got to the artist late. The artist was Al Milgrom, who was basically an editor at Marvel who also was an inker and had done some penciling. And a lot of people have a bad taste in their mouth when you say Al Milgrom inks. Our pal Butch, you mention Al Milgrom, and he goes, oh, I hate that guy's inking. And one of the problems was, because Al Milgrom worked in the office, he would get a lot of stuff where it would be, all right, we've got 20 pages that need to be at the printer on Monday, and this would be Friday. Al, can you take care of this over the weekend? And he would have to ink 20 pages over the weekend, over a two-day period, make them look at least professional enough to print and go. So he had a reputation for being really, really fast, but that also killed his reputation he built in the 70s for being very good. And it was very clear as you look through Secret Wars 2 that once again, it was, okay, you've got to draw all 22 pages of this book and you've got a week. It's an incomprehensible mess. There are tons of stupid stories, especially the one, and I'm sorry if someone has a fondness for it, where Spider-Man teaches the Beyonder to take a shit.
That was in the regular series. It wasn't a crossover, I believe.
That was not just bad, it was stupid.
I don't know, Corey. Would you know if you were a godlike power and you got turned into an ant, would you know what to do?
Joe, one of my favorite writers in the world, Elmore Leonard, has a rule about writing. You know what that rule is? You know all the stuff that happens in your life that's really boring and doesn't drive the story forward? Don't write it.
I didn't ask if he did it. I asked if you were to do it.
If I were to write a story about it, I sure wouldn't talk about the ant taking a shit.
I don't know. I thought it was kind of humorous. And being it was only two panels, it didn't make or break the series for me.
It didn't make or break the series, but it showed the banality of it. It showed just how poorly it was constructed as a story. You've got a grand cosmic being experiencing life on Earth, and it's not anything more than superhero fights and dopey jokes.
And again, I will say the problem is that there's this particular reading order you need to read it in. And if you pick up the omnibus, you can probably do that, with the exception of Micronauts number 16, because they don't have the rights to that anymore. So pick that issue up, pick up your omnibus, and like we talked about, go sit in the crapper, learn how to do it.
Yeah, if you read Avengers the Crossing and thought, you know, I haven't read something shitty enough yet, go pick up Secret Wars 2. Joe, did you read Secret Wars 3?
Is that the Bendis one, or was that the Fantastic Four?
That was the story in the Fantastic Four that took the Beyonder from this great cosmic being to, oh, no, 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 he's a baby cosmic cube.
And the reason he's a baby is because he come from this dimension where the Beyonders, plural, lived. And as they were going from reality to reality, they got to a reality where it was just all white. The reason why is because we...
Donald Trump's greatest dream!
We can't perceive the Beyonders. And I believe, didn't they undo that?
Well, it's gotten even more convoluted in that there was a Secret War series in the early 2000s, but there was also an issue of the Illuminati where we found out that all of Secret Wars 2 really didn't happen the way we thought, and they created a alternate counter-Earth dream sequence that the Beyonder was trapped in, and...
Hello. I'm in this episode.
Jen actually shows up during the nerd talk. Yeah, I'm amazed.
Must have run out of booze.
It's really cold in here. No, I can't drink. I'll just fall right asleep.
It's getting colder. It's going to be like sub-zero tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
But my thing about the issue of the Illuminati that explained away Secret Wars 2 is the explaining away was even more convoluted and messy than Secret Wars 2. And even Bendis himself has said, yeah, you can ignore that.
That's okay. I think our good buddy, what's his name? Hickman. He took care of it.
Yes. Now, Bendis did do a Secret Wars series.
Oh.
Hello?
It's him again. Hang on.
Hello?
Hello? Yep. No, we stopped talking about Deadpool.
I need a nap.
No worries. What? Okay, I'll tell him that. Corey?
Yeah.
Ryan says fuck off.
And?
That's all.
Okay. Jen, you say you need a nap?
I need a nap, yeah.
Shall we wake you up when it comes time for freaking and geeking?
I haven't got anything. I don't even know why I'm here this episode. I couldn't open the comic to review. I thought, you know, for once I'm gonna like read this thing and participate. And then I couldn't open the fucking file. I can't even drink because I'll just fall asleep. I'm slacking on the job. I've let Joe sing like at least twice now.
Only once.
No, only once?
Yep.
Give it time. And there you go. Shut up, Joe.
Is on my side.
And I don't even have a freaking or a geeking.
Oh, man, that sounds like a freaking to me.
I'm just tired and cold.
Well, I'm sorry that you're tired and cold. If you want to go take a nap, that's okay. We enjoy having you on every episode.
No, it's okay. I'm just going to sit here and suffer while I try to stay awake through all this boring what the fuck you're talking about.
By the way, listeners, the boring what the fuck is why you tuned in.
Yes.
So thanks.
No, I tuned in.
Thanks. Enjoyed that.
I know my episodes get the most views.
True.
Yep. Can't argue with that.
If this was a TV show, it would be for your lovely face and smoking hot pot.
They're tuning in for my what?
Sultry voice.
He gave you a compliment.
I'm a little uncomfortable right now.
Me too, but it's because I'm not wearing pants.
So Brian Bendis' Secret Wars did not have anything to do with the Beyonder or cosmic stuff or anything. It was an espionage book.
With Spider-Man?
Spider-Man was
Spider-Man.
In it, but it was mostly a Nick Fury book.
There's more than one Spider-Man?
Yeah, we're coming.
Oh, God.
Coming.
Don't even start.
Who's Nick Fury?
Samuel L. Jackson. But this was when he was white, like David Hasselhoff.
What?
Nick Fury was a sergeant during World War II who later showed up.
Oh, my God,
in the
I didn't 60s, want you to actually answer that.
Who later showed up in the 60s as Marvel's version of James Bond as Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. As the time went on, and it's like, you realize, of course, that Nick Fury would be in his 60s now. They invented this thing called the Infinity Formula, which kept him young forever.
How convenient.
Of course, it's comics. And then when they started the Ultimate Universe, they were using different movie actors as kind of templates for characters. So in the Ultimate Universe, Nick Fury was African-American, drawn like he looked like Samuel L. Jackson, because Samuel L. Jackson, big comic book fan. Marvel movies start. Guess who plays Nick Fury? Samuel L. Jackson. So we have now had a huge convoluted story so that Nick Fury is now African-American, and the original Nick Fury is now the Watcher, a cosmic being.
Actually, I thought, didn't they bring they said it was Nick Fury's son?
Yes, it's Nick Fury's illegitimate son.
It wasn't in Secret
War. That we never knew anything about.
It wasn't Secret War, though.
No, it wasn't Secret Wars that did that.
How does anyone remember all this stuff?
Wikipedia.
Because I'm a nerd.
It's like a soap opera, you know. If you care.
I was going to say
the last time we actually saw the Beyonder, I believe during the second Secret War, he was hanging out on
Dressed
Ceres,
like
the dwarf planet of the asteroid belt. Or you could say he was hanging out in Superman 28, where he was actually Mr. Mitziplex and just kind of disappeared, calling himself Ben DeRoy.
So that brings us to the current Secret Wars, which ended everything.
Well, it took a while to do it. I mean, Hickman had New Avengers and a run of Avengers to tie all this stuff together. We don't know what the hell is going on, and by the time we did, it was way too late to do anything about it. Story. It seems, and of course, this is like major spoilers, the Beyonders, remember that single white panel from Fantastic Four? They got a little bored. So they killed every godlike being in the Marvel Universe, including the Living Tribunal. And they would take one universe, throw it into the other universe, causing an incursion, which would destroy the universe. I don't know what the Beyonders did. They drunk up the power left over. Got bored, went in, did it to the next universe. So they're pretty much just deciding to destroy the multiverse as we know it. And the cool thing about it is, as we start the Avengers and New Avengers, and Corey, jump in if I get this wrong, because... Yeah, you know, a lot of times you read Hickman's stuff, you're not quite sure what's going on until the final issues. Tony Stark knew this.
Yes.
He knew no matter what, we couldn't do anything about it. Him, the Avengers, he knew they would try, he knew they would fail. So he set something up where a suddenly old Captain America was chasing his tail until they finally got to the end. And at that time, I think Cap had it out with Tony, you know, telling...
By the way, I think that's Jen typing, asking someone to rescue her from this podcast.
Oh my goodness. Is it ever going to end?
No, because it keeps going on and on, because we haven't even gotten to what we're talking about. This is just the prequel.
When are you going to start talking about Comic-Con?
That comes later.
Because actually,
at the Deadpool showing, we got word that... There's a Blizzard World Minneapolis, which is a show.
I saw that on Facebook.
Saturday, February 27th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's at the MTS High School Gymnasium, 26th Avenue South in Minneapolis. Facebook.com/Blizzard World Comic Con. Free admission if you wear a costume. Otherwise, it's $2 for kids, $3 for adults. Underground artist and creator Mark Bode will be there. Toys, Games.
Mark Bode, who is the son of Von Bode.
Toys, games, action figures, prize giveaways, dozens of local comic creators, so check it out. And of course,
you know, it's weird because that convention, like, I got invited to a comic creator meetup the same morning that's got a bunch of local people going there, so I don't know how that's going to work. I'm assuming it's not the same people trying to go to this show as going to this coffee and donuts thing.
Probably not, because we also know that advanced tickets are on sale, even as we pod, for the MSP Comic-Con 2016, which will be held May 14th and 15th at the Minnesota State Grandstand. And, of course, Corey and I will be there doing our podding. Is that even a verb?
Podcasting.
We're pods.
You need the casting part.
Yeah. No, we're just pods. Yeah.
And what, did you say there was something going on in April?
I'm on the front. I'm in a picture on the front page of the Comic-Con site. Comic-Con page.
Yeah, they changed things around. It's kind of cool. Brand new website, www.mcbacomiccon.com. You'll even see us.
Yeah, we're right there. I don't really look like that anymore, but it's okay.
And I'm looking for, there's one coming up in April, wasn't there?
I'm not aware of anything in April.
Oh, it was one you asked me about.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, hang on. Let me look at the calendar. No, I got you. It is the Comic Card Show at the Bloomington VFW.
Did they list any guests yet?
I believe Larry Hama is supposed to be there.
Ooh, we talked about him. Maybe he'll say, hey, you guys stop talking about me on your
comic. He's on the Facebox.
Cool.
Yeah, let me check. I can look it right now. There we go. April 16th. At 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at the Bloomington VFW. And it says comic talents Larry Hama, Eric Burnham, is that right? And Otis Frampton. Is that the cookie guy?
It might be.
No, that's Otis Spunkmeyer.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I will not eat any food with the word spunk in it.
Check comiccard.net for show details and guest updates.
You didn't really look at your popcorn last time, did you?
I am never, ever, ever, ever going to the movies with you again, Joe. We've known each other for how long now, and you're just now getting to do the popcorn trick?
You didn't do that thing where you cut the hole in the bottom of the popcorn bucket and put it in your lap?
I pray to God he didn't do
that. I did, but I got there first.
Ew.
They put a little too much butter on this.
Ew. What is with you tonight?
I'm staying away from Joe at the movies now.
I'm starting to miss like my month long hiatus.
Oh, you were gone more than a month.
Shh, don't tell anybody.
Oh, like people didn't notice.
I'm sure they did.
I would sit and stare, looking at the Skype, just sad eyes, just...
Could you change your Skype icon to something that's not a cow?
That's Bat Cow.
I don't like it.
I don't care.
Bat Cow.
Bat Cow is the greatest character find of the last 20 years. So, Secret Wars. The entire universe's... died. Now, Joe said that it started in the Avengers. Joe?
Oh, it
did not
start.
It
started a lot longer before that. It's just, again,
Jonathan Hickman, who started
stuff together, takes a PhD in comicology.
Hickman, who did some amazing stuff at Image before he came to Marvel. If you have not read Nightly News or, what was it? Pax Romana. Those are books that he drew and wrote, and the guy has a master's degree in design, and those books are just beautiful. They worked as individual comics, and then when you got the books themselves were works of art, let alone the story inside. But he started over in the Ultimate Universe writing the Ultimates, where if you read what was the final Ultimate story? We found out that some of the stuff in the Ultimates...
Cataclysm.
...was what began, kind of got the notice of the Beyonders. And he has followed this thread through. He followed it through his run on the Ultimates, on Secret Warriors, on the Fantastic Four, and then it blew up big in the Avengers. And it all ties in, which... is one of the reasons why Hickman is one of my favorite writers now. He does it, his stuff can be read as an individual issue. But then as you read the next one, it doesn't seem connected until you see this puzzle piece. And then you read the next, and there's more puzzle pieces. It's kind of like if you had a jigsaw puzzle, and every piece of the jigsaw puzzle was a separate picture. And as you put them together, it makes a much bigger picture. And Secret Wars was like that. Again, the premise was everything has been destroyed. There's one world left that has bits and pieces of all these different universes.
Battle World.
And how does it all tie together? Now, I've said in the past that one of my big problems with the series was that it became so delayed that issue 6 came out, and then we knew, oh, the multiverse is back. We don't know the details, we don't know what's going on, but we already know the multiverse is back. Because there were thoughts at the time, they've wiped everything out, Marvel's going to do a reboot. They'll just have the one reality, or, you know, they're going to change everything. And we find out that they didn't really change everything. There are tweaks and bits and pieces and stuff. So a part of the ending was robbed. The other thing about Secret Wars was it was supposed to be an 8-issue series. And they actually had to take the last 2 issues and turn it into 3 because it was too big. And as I read the last 3 issues, I almost wish they would have expanded it for at least 1 or 2 more. Because there was just too much story going on at once. The art. Here's the one thing, Joe. I love me some Alex Ross. I think Alex Ross is amazing. There's very little Alex Ross has done that I haven't loved. I didn't like his covers for the Secret Wars issues.
See, I picked up the aforementioned action figure covers. Except when issue 9 came out, because I wanted to read it right away, I picked up a Fred Hembeck variant, which I believe had Deadpool trying to shove the Beyonder back in the door saying, no, we don't need you. Not this time. No. So I was lucky because I was able to get up and rush to the source and pick up the action figure covers on the shelf. Did you read Secret Wars Zero, the Free Comic Books, eh?
Yes.
What I liked about that, and I think I blabbed about it before, was it was kind of a setup for Secret Wars. And, of course, this was during Free Comic Book Day, way before Secret Wars started, actually over a year ago. And the last little bit had a blurb where they had Attack on Titan meets the Marvel Universe, which was really, really cool and would be really fun if they would ever go back to visit that instead of just a little teaser on it. So we actually saw a little bit of that back during Free Comic Book Day, the Secret Wars Zero, because by then we knew it was coming. Do you think, Strode, you could start with issue 1 and not have to go back and read all the fun stuff that before it?
Yes. I think the stuff before it informs it, but I also think that this stands alone. And the other thing is, I did sit this weekend, I read issues 1 through 9, and I have most of the tie-ins I have not finished reading.
And you don't to read them?
You don't need to read them. Many of them are very cool and they're fun ideas. And there's a lot of stuff that if you have read The Avengers and everything going back are going to be moments of great fan glee. But everything you need is in this book. All you need to know is the Fantastic Four are a family. Dr. Doom is their nemesis and has always been jealous of Reed. Everything has been destroyed except for this world. And two groups, one of heroes and one of villains, that were able to make it out of the destruction of all that is.
And Spider-Man.
Yes.
Oh, and
Spider-Man. Spider-Man.
And Spider-Gwen. And Groot.
And Ultimate Spider-Man saves the universe with a cheeseburger.
Batman.
No, Batman.
Well, Dr. Doom and Dr. Strange and Molecule Man, you know, they had
Batman.
A little too. He might have been there. It's hard to tell. There's a lot Batman. In Battle World. We didn't know because what did they say? Was it 3 years? There's a certain amount of time that happens from when Doom creates Battle World to when Secret Wars 2 starts.
It was years.
Yeah, I thought they said like 8.
Yes.
So, I mean, they could go back and revisit this if they want. The cool thing about the crossovers is that they went and they took different concepts that probably should never come back again. Age of Ultron, the Marvel Zombies, the Korvac saga, and just brought it out. For whatever reason, Doom just slammed this stuff together and ruled it as God. And which naturally, when the guys from these rafts showed up, and one had a bunch of, what'd they call it, the Cabal? The villains?
Yes.
And one had the heroes. And as you read Secret Wars, you discover the things like what the heck's going on, like we do. There's a number of MacGuffins that happen. The two I can think of is like when Scott Summers, who has the Phoenix back in him, basically just gets snuffed by Doom right away. You know, you're thinking, oh boy, there's going to be a gunfight. Nope. Same thing like when Thanos confronts Doom, telling him, you haven't been a god, which is really dumb because he has. He already stole the powers from a Beyonder once. Now he has all the Beyonder's powers.
Yeah, but Thanos didn't know that. Thanos was dead at the time.
Well,
he got better.
He did. Our Infinity Gauntlet makes a guest appearance. Now, what did you think of the ending of it?
I'm trying to think of the best way to put this. There's a lot of online conspiracy theory stuff about how, oh, they did this because the Fox movie rights and this and on and on and on and on. And I'm just going to say, for all the people who say, they're not creating new X-Men because of the movies.
Sure, they're not.
Have you been reading the goddamn X-Men? Because
all 27 of them?
They're creating new characters all the time. What it is, and I talked about it a few episodes ago, Fantastic Four, no matter what they did, it wasn't selling. They put Miller and Brian Hitch on the book, and it didn't sell. They put J. Michael Straczynski on the book, it didn't sell. No matter what they did, the book just didn't. It never got above a certain level. So what Hickman did is, this was kind of how he wanted to end his Fantastic Four run. And they said, wait a minute, let's blow it up. Let's make it bigger. Let's make it the Secret Wars thing. I think it's a very good way to kind of take the Fantastic Four off the table for a while. And then when someone sends in a pitch that works, bring them back.
I don't know. There are these cats named, Jack Lee and Stan Kirby. I don't think they could even bring the FF back to the way it was.
Not the way it was, but much like with Thor. They took Thor off the table for a while till they got a good pitch and brought the character back, and he was much more successful than he had been for a long time. I think with a lot of these long-running properties, you got to make people miss them. I'm going to use The X-Files as an example. Last two seasons of The X-Files, the ratings weren't that great, and by the time it went off the air, nobody really cared. The movie... You know, they did a movie a few years after. It flopped. They have brought the series back, and internationally it is breaking ratings records. It's doing okay here in the States, but overseas it's getting huge viewership. It's a huge success. Why? We missed it. You got to make people miss something so that when you bring it back, it's a big deal.
How did you like how they dealt with Miles Morales?
I am still unsure.
Well, of course, that Spider-Man book hasn't hit yet.
Right. And there's a problem in that he's going to be called Spider-Man as well. And one of the things that was very interesting about the character was he was in a world where Peter Parker had died. And then they brought Peter Parker back and they didn't quite explain it. And there was going to be a mystery there. But, oh, wait, the Ultimate Universe is gone. There's Jin typing away to try and get more help.
The hell's an Ultimate Universe?
Send caffeine.
I actually thought it was kind of elegant the way they come up with it, because just a little throwaway comedy thing from early in the issue pays off.
Yes.
So,
I like that. I like the character a lot. I'm excited about him being in the Marvel Universe. I actually wish they would give him a different name, because now we have...
It's like you're speaking another language. There's all these words, and I just they don't make any sense.
Let him keep the same name. It's not that big a deal.
I don't know. There's Spider-Man and Spider-Man.
I know that one.
Did you know that Spider-Man is a 14-year-old African-American Hispanic kid?
I think I saw a picture of that on the internet.
Okay.
Is he gay?
Oh, and no.
You're on the wrong internet site.
Oh.
Oh, and he's also a guy in his early 30s who owns a multinational corporation.
Is that one gay?
No.
Yeah, I thought
probably.
There was a gay
the way
Spider-Man.
The way he treats women, he probably is.
Maybe I've just been on Tumblr too much lately.
You've been reading
that very well
Millennium
be.
From DC, one of the two.
Although Deadpool, he's not straight, he's not gay. He's what they call omnisexual.
Yep.
What
he
does
likes
that
zombies.
Mean?
Anything, anywhere, anytime.
With
yep. That electrical socket looks mighty cute. It's been winking at me. I think there's a spark between us.
Should I watch that movie?
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't know anything about it.
Don't worry
doesn't
about
matter.
It. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, you do. You've seen an X-Men movie.
I saw one. No, I saw two of them. Like a
that was probably,
long
time. That was too many that you need to know to enjoy Deadpool.
No, you need to know who Wolverine is so that the Wolverine jokes.
No, it was one
well, I
joke.
Know who Wolverine is. Come
and you
on.
Got, and you
there
got
you know.
Everybody knows who fucking Wolverine is. Like,
which
even
is funny
me.
Because when I had my comic shop, nobody knew who Wolverine
but, like,
was.
Like, name three comic characters. Batman.
Superman, Batman.
Spider-Man. And Wolverine. No, fuck
Danger
Superman.
Mouse.
I said it. Danger Mouse is all right. That's a cartoon.
It was in comics.
It was a cartoon.
Oh, it.
You know who's not a cartoon?
It worked.
I shall repeat.
You can see his.
You know who's not a cartoon?
His eyes are like throbbing right now as
Who?
He twitches and he's getting ready to explode.
Finally, I derailed something successfully.
Chimichanga. It's fun, isn't it?
I know.
For the third time. Do you know who's not a cartoon?
Hey, Jen, let's do it together.
These guys.
These guys. Our sponsors.
Whatever.
Jeez.
Believe it or not, kids, this silliness has actual real sponsors. Our first sponsor is Graze.com. Graze gives you healthy snacks sent to your house. You can have them delivered weekly, bi-weekly, monthly. And your first box is free if you use the code CORYS3R5B. Our second sponsor is Bombas. Bombas socks are some of the best socks in the world, and remember, for every pair you buy, they donate a pair to a homeless shelter or other worthy cause. Just go to bombas.gotocloud.org/SF30. That's right, those are our ads. Go check out our sponsors.
Okay, that was kind of exciting.
They do pay our bills.
They don't pay the bills.
They don't pay nothing.
They buy you snacks.
Yeah.
And razors.
And razors.
Yep.
And socks.
And socks.
Socks?
And internet hosting.
Yes.
Wait, since when do we get socks?
Bombas socks.
I don't get no socks.
It's because you don't listen
you
to the
ask for
commercials.
I haven't gotten any socks.
Wait a minute.
I'm cold.
That's a lie. That's a lie, and you know it. You were given socks.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
I snuck socks into your apartment.
You're weird.
You know, you asked earlier about caffeine. Have you ever tried Death Wish ground coffee?
No, I'm not much of a coffee drinker.
Oh, the world's strongest coffee.
We were watching that. I'm afraid
Super
it'll
Bowl.
Give me heart palpitations.
Yeah, no, my wife and daughter saw it, and they went, oh, we got to have that. So I went to eBay and bought it. I haven't
Speaking of eBay, Joe, what you been doing on the eBays?
Well, I thought I would take a look at two of the more obscure items I have on eBay. Corey, who is Charles Atlas?
Charles Atlas was a bodybuilder in the 30s and 40s who developed a course for bodybuilding, and he bought a number of ads in comic books. Do you know why he bought them in comic books and not in fitness magazines?
Because everybody reads comic books for geeks.
No, because the fitness magazines were owned by Joe Weider.
Oh.
Who had his own fitness routine, and most of the ads in the magazines, like Men's Physique, which became Muscle and Fitness, and those magazines were ads for his stuff.
Aww.
And if you were competition, you couldn't get in those magazines. So Charles Atlas was in comic books.
Cool. Well, if you're interested, I have 4 Charles Atlas stickers from Dark Horse. They came out, they're about half a postcard size, and I have the whole set. Just waiting for someone to pick up. And if they do mention they heard it on this here podcast, of course, I'll send them something from my vast accumulation of stuff.
And the Charles Atlas ads actually inspired one of my favorite miniseries of all time, Flex Mentallo, by Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely, which starts with the premise of the little comic strip that used to run, you know, the insult that made a man out of Mac, and goes in surreal, bizarre directions. And it's one of those books that you can read and you find something new in it every time. Frank Quitely's art is utterly amazing. I wish the man would draw more. But it's Grant Morrison, so I love it. Joe, what's the second weird thing you've got on eBay?
I have a single, and of course, as you know, as my computer is wont to do, it likes to just randomly freeze up on me. I guess it's okay for something that's 6 years old.
Oh, I feel bad for the 6-year-olds.
You should. It's a Blue Man Group I Feel Love CD, which includes, it's out when they did it with Venus Hum, and it also includes the video. And it's out of print. It was released in 2004, and as I'm wont to do on everything on eBay, I like to have the lowest price possible. So if you're a Blue Man Group fan and you never picked yourself up one of these, come get some.
The Blue Man Group has never been in comics, have they?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But I said weird.
Newman!
You know, I sell things more than just comic books, you know, Strode. I have a life, you know.
What? There's something other than comic books?
Well, I know, right?
Leather-bound Harry Potter books with removable Horcrux bookmarks.
One of these days I should read those books and watch the movie, shouldn't I?
The first movie is painful. The second one was good. The third one is really good, and they're kind of like back and forth after that. I never read the books, but the movies do have Alan Rickman in them.
Yes.
See, I just went to see the second movie because I was trying to get in some guy's pants, and he liked Harry Potter. And we're watching, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. I watch this dumb shit, you know, so I can get lucky or whatever. And then like Alan Rickman was on the screen, and I'm like, hello, I'm paying attention. I didn't know this guy was in this movie. Harry Potter fan the rest of the way out.
You see,
like Harry Potter a lot longer than I like the guy.
Now every con appearance Jen makes, guys are going to come up dressed like Harry Potter, Alan Rickman.
There you go.
Yep. Okay. I'm down for that.
Well, since Joe's done with his eBay stuff, that means it's time for my favorite part of the show, Freaking and Geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
I've had bad days this week.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's just my rheumatoid's acting up. We got high pressure coming in, part of this ball blistering cold, and it's just not... I'm achy, I'm cranky. You know, because of that, I didn't go to the train show. There was a world's biggest train show. It comes through town like once every 10 years. And I wanted to go, and I should have done what the chat said, just say yes. But I didn't. And I'll tell you more about that when I get to geeking. I almost begged out of Deadpool, but I was like, I got to get doing something. And I'm glad I did say yes. But now I'm just kind of bumming that I didn't go to the train show. We're going to start a new segment here on...
Another new segment?
This is called, How Long Is It Going to Take for Dynamic Forces to Give Me a Callback?
I still don't have a segment.
You'll find one eventually. something will get you moved or pissed off like this, because I have two outstanding orders with Dynamic Forces. One of them from last September. And it's one of these things where they're probably just clearing things out, and they say, we'll not ship till November. Well, it's February.
Is that a company that sells things?
Yeah, they sell mostly like exclusive covers, signed comics, remarked comics. And, you know, they got the websites, they had advertising previews catalog. And I've bought stuff from them before, and I've had times where I didn't get what I should have gotten. I call, and they call me back, and it's taken care of. You know, sometimes, well, yeah, it's shipping in a month or so. Okay, fine. I've been calling them since mid-December. I've been emailing them. Nobody's picking up the phone there. And so we're going to count the Dynamic Forces phone calls. Right now, the count is 2 emails and 4 phone calls. And every week, until I get a call from them, we will continue this. In the meantime, I suggest nobody buy nothing from these guys until their customer service picks up the frickin' phone. That's pretty much what I'm freaking on. Jin, what are you freaking on other than not having anything to freak on?
There was a blizzard.
Oh, Dairy Queen's open?
Woo-hoo! There was a blizzard, and I had to move my truck because of the snow plows, and my truck got stuck in like a foot of snow.
Do you have 4-wheel?
No, and nobody was there to help me, and I tried to call you, and you didn't answer, and I was in the truck for like an hour, and I dug the truck out with a shovel, and it still wouldn't move, and I had to find a guy down the street, and he said... I said, can you help me, please? I'm from Texas, and my truck is stuck in the snow. And he said, well, this winter is going to be a pain in the butt, eh? And
he came down from Canada.
No, he sounded just like that. And he put a strap on the back of my truck and pulled me back like 2 feet, and I drove away. And I am aware this is a repeat story from another recording, but it's worth repeating for another audience. Because now we are keeping score, Winter 1, Jin 0.
There's your segment. Jin versus Winter.
Well, you know, I was fine until I got stuck in a snowbank. Corey, what are you freaking on?
First,
obligated to ask that.
Yeah, I know. He gets cranky otherwise. His eyes bulge. He starts twitching.
No, it's fine. If you know, it's fine. It's just fine. I can always record it and edit it in later.
Boring.
Boring.
I'm looking at the previews.
Oh, more comics.
Someone just sent me something. Hold on.
Ooh.
Oh, now who's playing podcasting around on the computer
like
while
that.
We're supposed to be recording?
I know. He thinks
it's
he's
okay.
Us.
It's okay.
Hold no, it's
on.
Not okay.
Nope, it's not.
Yes,
it's
it is.
It's not okay at all.
I would say right.
Because someone sent me something.
Joe,
here.
Why don't you sing or something?
Hit that bitch in her throat, then just kick her knee out and kick her head off the shoulders like she was trying to make a goal in the Super Bowl.
What are you reading?
It says, ladies, she grabs you and says, he's mine now, what do you do? And I'm reading all the wonderful comments that follow it.
What are you reading?
I don't know. Just some dumbass thing on Facebook.
What are you reading, really?
It was either that or a video of Fat Elvis.
What are you reading, Joe?
Let's see. Astonishing Schools of Gifted Nerds.
Joe, stop reading stupid shit on Facebook.
Isn't that what Facebook's for? Corey, are you going to feed the audience in what this wonderful interruption was, or are you just going to edit it out like you normally
do? No, you better not edit it out.
Yeah.
I'm not editing it out, but it's someone is sending me a file that I need.
Why do you need a file right now? You're talking
so
about
important.
Freaking. You know what I'm freaking on? You reading files while you're
talking. Yeah,
regardless
how big or bad you are, there's always one woman that can see right through you. Sorry, I'm
for
still reading the same
God.
Thing.
You guys keep it up, and I'll add this person to the goddamn call.
No, you're not.
I was looking through the previews and looking at the Marvel stuff. Everything's crossing over with every fucking thing else.
Boring.
Yep.
You want you like the Howard the Duck? Well, you're going to have to read Squirrel Girl and Guardians of the Galaxy and something else. No matter what it is, everything's crossing over with everything else. And didn't we learn our lesson in the 90s, people?
Nope.
Now I know why they're doing it.
You learned nothing.
Because I'm looking at the sales figures for the new books, and if it's not Spider-Man, Batman, or the Justice League,
Batman. It
ain't selling too well.
Dude, I am watching the most adorable video of Bernie Sanders playing basketball on Twitter.
So, there's that. Joe even sent me a quote from the Diamond, what was it, one of the Diamond conferences?
Mm-hmm.
Where Marvel said, as long as you people keep buying this shit, we'll keep making it.
I saw something about that.
You need to remember, folks, the only reason they're doing all these crossovers and all these special covers and all this stuff that you're belly aching and complaining about is because you're buying it. So if you don't buy it, they're not going to make it anymore.
Exactly. Like the electric banana stereo phone that played in any position, even upside down. Back in the 70s, nobody bought it. They stopped making it.
Well, one would hope.
It was only $39.77.
The other thing that I am freaking on Monday night, one of my favorite wrestlers from the last 15 years, Bryan Danielson, the American Dragon, known in WWE as Daniel Bryan, announced his retirement due to a number of concussions, to the point where he said that he met with doctors and realized that he can no longer. Basically, he's been told if he has any more concussions, it could cause permanent brain damage.
You're going to turn into pudding.
And he told a story about how when he started wrestling in his first matches, he had 3 concussions within 2 months. And if you've watched Daniel Bryan, you know that he does stuff where he launches head first at people, where he lands on the upper part of his back, where his head will hit the mat. I love this guy's work. I've loved this guy's work since I saw him work CM Punk for an hour at the St. Paul Armory.
Joe's playing around on Facebook while you're talking.
Yeah, I know, because he no longer cares. But I am very glad that he is leaving wrestling healthy on his own terms. Yes, they said you can't do this anymore, but the WWE has a stricter concussion policy than any other form of sports in the world. He's going to be able to leave. He's got enough money to literally live for the rest of his life and never work again. And I'm very glad that all of the work he did to entertain us has made it so that he can do this. So while I'm freaking that he won't be in wrestling anymore, I'm geeking that he's going to be happy, healthy, and safe. Joe, what are you geeking on?
Comic book-wise, I read a bunch of number ones just to get people up and running. You know, we were bitching about Marvel renumbering all their number ones. Well, there's a couple. Silver Surfer number one, same team, Dan Slott, Michael Aldred, Laura Aldred. As much fun as ever, no reason to renumber it, but they did, so just go pick it up. It's a lot of fun. Wasn't quite sure with the new reboot of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. number one how it was going to go. But the first issue, not too bad, interesting enough. We'll see where it goes. I imagine it's going to go into a big crossover. I'll probably drop it. Ted McKeever is doing a 5-issue series with Image called Pencilhead. Oddball artists, twisted writers, demented editors, office politics, hamburgers, and a dead stripper. It's a mostly true 5-issue series about the whacked-out world of comic books. And as I'm reading it, I'm assuming it's all fictionalized, but it's kind of curious to see what stories were real and what weren't, and I'm pretty sure he won't be explaining it one way or another. I picked up for a discount through Discount Comic Book Service, issue number one of The Wicked and the Divine. How the hell did I let this one get past me? Fantastic. I urge everybody, run out. It's in graphic novel form. Image has one of their Image first. Take a look at it. Give it a shot. Very clean art style. Compelling story. You know, I often wonder, you know, where all the artists went that have the clean lines and the good inking. Oh, they're going over to Image. Then again,
everybody's going to Image.
Ted McKeever's. I mean, his was real stylish, but still a lot of fun.
I love Ted McKeever.
A lot of press was given out to this next book from Valiant, Faith Number One. The reason why is Faith is a superhero, but she is not your archetypical superhero body.
Oh my God, I tried to read that shit.
Oh, you saw it?
Yeah,
I've seen it,
yeah.
Read through it. I don't read Valiant, but I may have to pick with this one for a little bit. It wasn't too bad.
I made it like 5 pages in and was like, no.
I made it through. I was just curious to see where it was going because those first couple of pages were rough because they're basically setting up her world and giving you quick introductions of everybody. And even I was kind of, oh, okay, but I got to get through the rest of it. Once they got past all that crap and started getting into her doing her superhero stuff, it got a little more interesting for me. I actually picked up, and I didn't realize it at the time, a source cover variant. I was just happy to see a number one because I'd heard it sold out, and eBay's got a ton and a half of various variants you can pick up if you're so inclined. So I enjoyed it, so I'll pick it up. I picked up me a library card. Haven't had one in over 20 years, but I figured, what the heck, let's check it out. First book I picked up, you haven't read it yet, Star Trek, the original series, Serpents in the Garden. Basically, Kirk revisiting the planet where he was, I think it was the one where they had to introduce guns because the Klingon introduced guns and there was Mugati and a hot dancer who seduced Kirk and his friend and whatever. But whatever, I dig Star Trek and I always forget about the library. While it's not technically free because it's covered by my tax dollars, it is free because now I can read it and return it. Corey, I done got me a no prize.
Really?
Yep. It was $30 off of eBay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was 1960s, 70s. Circula no prize. Apparently a lot of unused ones have been popping up. Most of the people are asking $50-$60 for them. And there's a couple ones that they were doing in the 80s that are even more rare. But I figure, what the heck? I had a little eBay money burning a hole in my pocket, so I picked it up. I also picked up that Secret Wars number 9 variant, the cover. And my daughter had me pick up a CD called Panic at the Disco, Death of a Bachelor. Panic at the Disco is the group. I don't know. Whatever. Makes her happy. No, as I said, I didn't go to the train show. Do you know why, Corey?
Why?
I recorded Solo Joe number 2.
What?
Soon to be given to you so you can drop it shortly or within a week after of this episode. For this particular episode, I sat down with my daughters. Couldn't get my wife to do it. And talked to them about what it was like growing up with Daddy owning a comic book shop. And Corey, you're in big-ass trouble. That's all I'm going to say. You're going to have to listen to Solo Joe 2, hopefully dropping shortly after this here podcast. As we speak, I'm going to edit it. I promise I'll curb the sound bites, at least till after the interview, and then I'll probably add some extra things, because we only talked for about 30 minutes, and it was kind of fun. And then after we turned off the thing, the girls were like, oh, I should have talked about this, I should have talked about that, and they're like, well, save it, and maybe we'll revisit it in a while. Jen, what are you geeking on?
I've been going through a tough time lately, and I just, you know, like, I just have some awesome friends. So, that's awesome.
Not awesome enough to pull you out of a snowbank.
No, I know, right, Joe?
Actually, you gotta send me your phone number, because I think Corey texted me, wanted to know where I was.
I tried to call you, and you didn't answer.
But other than you,
I mean, Corey keeps buying me food because he's a goody two shoes.
Yeah, he does.
Because I'm running on a shoestring budget here.
He even bought me some pretzel bites. I felt bad, so I gave him $2.
But I had some of my friends. I've been wanting this is silly, but I've been wanting one of those vintage metal letter trays for my office to put my work notebooks in, because I have like, you know, 3 or 4 projects, and I keep the notepads and papers and stuff for each project in a tray. And I left my old ones back in Houston, so somebody surprised me last week with a letter tray. They found it at a thrift shop, for a few dollars. And then cool. I have another friend who collects pencils and pens. And so we were hanging out, and he's like, I made you something. And I'm like, oh, yeah? And he gives me this little box, and I open it up. And it's a mechanical pencil that he made. The catch is that it's made out of, like, parts from at least 5 or 6, you know, different pencils and pens. So he basically disassembles mechanical pencils and pens and then reassembles them into new pencils and pens, which I just seem to attract strange people to me. So the grip on it, it's actually made out of a cap from a marker. That's pretty awesome, in my opinion. I'm getting revenge on you guys for all the comic chat.
I didn't want to do it, but why did Mozart kill all his chickens? Because when he asked them who the best composer was, they all said, bark, bark, bark.
You didn't even let me, like, respond.
Well, I was, but someone just tossed me a box of Girl Scout Thin Mints. Oh, I'm going to eat while Corey talks.
Where do I get cookies?
Well, I heard someone might be celebrating a birthday soon.
Oh, yeah. Corey, what are you geeking on?
First, I actually want to speak to something Joe said about the comic Faith. I read it, too. And I was able to stay awake. Kinda. It reminded me of the Valiant stuff in the 90s, where it would be okay if it were a buck, maybe a buck 50, but at $4 an issue, there was just a whole lot of nothing happening there. I didn't feel like I got $4 worth of entertainment out of it, and while I understand that there are some people who really, really like it, for me, it was just dull. And it showed a lot of the problem I have with a lot of mainstream comics, where they forget, you know what? Comics are $4 each. You got to blow shit up. You can't just, okay, here, we've created this world. No, you have to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. There. Things I'm geeking on. First, the Deadpool movie. I have not had that much fun at a movie in a long time. It never slowed down. It's full of wisecracks. It's full of, you know, playing with the fourth wall. A lot of jokes that you may or may not get, depending on how well versed you are in paying attention to things. There's a Green Lantern joke for Ryan Reynolds, which I liked. But it's very kinetic. There's a lot going on. I think it's a really good addition to the way Marvel movies are made. And it almost makes up for the Fantastic Four movie.
No.
Dude, while we're talking about movies, I got one thing I just remembered. And that is that Mad Max Fury Road was nominated for Best Picture at the Oscars.
Yes, it was.
Motherfuckers.
And it's because the director is fucking awesome.
That is the best fucking movie. And I have made two people sit through it, and they were, like, picking it apart the whole time. And I was like, get the fuck out of my apartment. I don't know you anymore. I don't want to know you.
Just tell them, is that what you do on a roller coaster? You just pick? Oh, that turn was sub the time.
Probably, yeah.
Shut up and enjoy it.
What the hell is wrong with you? This is, like, the greatest movie. It's not a cartoon.
When people ask me, hey, Corey, this Mad Max Fury Road, what is it? And I say, there's no plot to get in the way of the story. It's a car chase, and then they turn around, and they car chase back. And that's all it is.
But it's so... It's so amazing, like, with such minimal dialogue. Like the whole, like... It's half told with just, like, grunts and facial expressions, you know?
I will take 1 minute to shout out to one of my old employees that we saw at Deadpool, Joe Finn.
I did not recognize him at all.
I didn't recognize him either. He said he recognized my voice, and I had my glasses off, and I look up, and it's like, Joe Finch, Joe! So it was kind of cool to see him. I have no idea if he listens to the podcast or not, but it's a shout-out to you, Joe.
And he darn well better start listening.
Yeah.
Gru, the Gru Friends and Foes maxi series has ended. I sat down, read the whole thing. Sergio Aragonés is what, in his 80s? He is a national treasure. This book was beautiful. It had Sergio's level of detail. It didn't have a single new joke, which is fine because one of the jokes of Gru is that there's only three jokes, which of course isn't true. There's different jokes and everything, but it hung together as a 12-issue maxi-series, but also you could read each one individually. But Sergio Aragonés, he's one of those guys who everything he does is at least beautiful to look at. I really hope that at some point they start putting out Gru omnibuses or Gru big collected books or something to get all of this stuff into really nice big books so you could just sit and read them all. And the last thing is there is a new comic coming out from Image called The Hit. And you're probably wondering, well, no, I'm sorry, The Fix. It's called The Fix. The writer is Nick Spencer. The artist is Steve Lieber. These are the creators behind one of my favorite comics of the last few years, The Superior Foes of Spider-Man. And they've got a preview in previews. And here it is. It's a story of crooked cops, scheming mobsters, corrupt politicians that run things, and the sex toy that can bring them all down. Oh, and the hero's a drug-sniffing beagle named Pretzels. I'm sold. I want this book, and I want it right now. I don't want to have to wait. Seeing as how I've now waited for 9 months for my omnibus of The Superior Foes of Spider-Man.
It's so cold.
Get your ass in gear, Marvel. And that's what I'm geeking on. Believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about comic books for over an hour and a half.
No, I don't think it's technically over an hour and a half because we were talking for a few minutes before we started recording.
And I technically don't think Jen was listening the entire hour and a half.
Yeah, I took a nap in the middle
there.
Yeah,
she checked out for it. And it was cold.
It is still cold. It continues
and
to be cold.
As we say every week, kids, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
Goku can easily beat Superman. Stan Lee. Jin?
Hit my music, boys!